Hi everyone, I'm Bandesh Jato and this is Dhamma Threads. I'm here today with Leslie Christen and we're going to be talking about a couple of verses from the Theragata, the verses of the senior monks. And for this session we're going to be looking at the verse number 2.10 by Venerable Vasubha. Again, we're not entirely sure what the relationship of the verse with the monk is, but presumably these are verses by Venerable Vasubha. Okay, this one's a very striking one. First, one kills oneself. Then, one kills others. One kills oneself really dead, like one who kills birds using a dead bird as a decoy. A holy man's colour is not on the outside. A holy man is coloured on the inside. Whoever does bad deeds, such a one is truly dark, Sujampati. Okay, so this is a very interesting verse from a number of different respects. First of all, recommendation to kill, to murder and suicide. One, I think, is fairly obvious that we're meant to be interpreting this metaphorically. And the question is, what does the metaphor mean? What kind of metaphor are we doing here? So typically in Buddhism, if you're talking about killing something or getting rid of it, then it would be getting rid of your attachments. Yeah? So the idea would be first you get rid of your own attachments, own desires and conceit and arrogance and anger and so on, and then you are ready to help others get rid of their attachments. Yeah? So you kill yourself really dead, right? That means you're not just a little bit dead, right? You're not just partly dead, you are really dead. That means that you have to really look after your own practice, that you make sure that you are in a way, so in the English idiom, you're practicing what you preach, or you're walking the talk. So, like somebody who kills birds using a dead bird as a decoy, and this is a somewhat obscure sentence and a bit hard to sort of pass it out in English. But the idea seems to be that you there was a system of perhaps killing birds or something like that, setting them up as a decoy to trap them. You know, this would be like probably killing birds that are, I don't know, maybe eating the crops or something like that. So something like a scarecrow, and then you'd use one bird as a decoy. So the idea here is that you slay yourself, i.e. your own conceit, your own sense of self and so on, and then you can, you're ready to help others to overcome that same problem themselves. Then goes on to the second verse, which is, I guess, loosely associated with the first verse. But it says, a holy man's colour, here holy man's translating Brahman, colour is not on the outside, a holy man is coloured on the inside. And this is a reference to a sort of classic sort of doctrine we find in the Vedic tradition, which is that the Brahmins are the fair caste or the white caste. And they had this sort of system of colours of caste. In fact, the word for caste is Varna, which literally means colour. And so the lower caste were the black caste and so on, where they were the white caste. So Buddha here, as always, or not the Buddha, but the Buddha's teachings, as always sort of undoing those kind of racist connotations and those external connotations, and pointing out that the real meaning of holiness or purity is what you are on the inside, like your skin colour. So whoever does bad deeds is truly dark, Sujampati. And then there's a reference at the end to Sujampati, somebody who this is being referred to. Sujampati being the name of a Brahma god. And so it may well be that this verse was meant to be addressed to a Brahma god. That would also, you know, fit with the Brahmanical context. On the other hand, it might have just been somebody who happened to be called Sujampati. In the commentary to these stories will always give a context that makes sense out of them. Those contexts are not always necessarily historical, but they can help to clarify the meaning of it. But in any case, without going into the commentarial background, it seems like it's a conversation with either a person or a god called Sujampati, and that's the purpose of the simile, is to point to that necessity for internal purification. So what do you think, Leslie?
Yes, well, I noticed that in the first verse, I feel quite shocked.
Right.
Because, you know, it's very dramatic to kill, you know, yes, the use of the word kill. But then when I get to the second verse, it's resolution is basically anti-racist in a yes. sense, and is very gentle.
Yes.
So yeah. it's like that sharp tap on the shoulder, and then, okay, then the teaching is given to me.
Yeah.
I quite like that.
There's a dramatic contrast there. And that use of language, you don't find that kind of thing very often in the early Buddhist texts, but you do find it from time to time. There's a famous verse in the Dhammapada about slaying mother and father, and you know, someone who kills their mother and father and kills a holy man and so on. They're wander purified and happy, right? So, I mean, this kind of thing, you know, is there because otherwise everyone's falling asleep in the Dhamma talk, right? Mm. So you have to say something that's going to be paradoxical, and people go, "What?" You know, and they wake up. Then you can look through it. And if you read, of course, in the Mahayana scriptures, they're full of this kind of thing, right?
Okay.
So they're constantly throwing up all of these paradoxes, right? There's no such thing as the Four Noble Truths, there's no such thing as the Eightfold Path, and so on and so forth. You know, if you meet the Buddha on the road, kill him, and that kind of thing. So they're always giving you these paradoxes.
Yeah.
And then, of course, that you have to sort of figure out what's actually going on and what's the meaning behind them. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
There's a nice one. In one of the Mahayana sutras, it says it turns the five precepts upside down. So you should always kill living beings, take what is not given, drink intoxicants, engage in sexual misconduct, drink intoxicants, and lie. Right? But then, of course, it goes on and explains all of them, and it says kill living beings. It means you should kill the conceit of a self. When you should take what is not given means you should practice the Noble Eightfold Path and realize the fruits of the path. It's something nobody can give to you. You have to take it and do it yourself. Yeah? And so to commit sexual misconduct means that you should be restrained, right? Which is in the world's eyes. Is the only kind of sexual misconduct is to be restrained. To commit false speech is to refer to yourself as I and mine, and use these words which are conventional words, even though you know that in reality there is no I and mine.
Okay.
And then to always indulge in intoxicants. is to always be living in the bliss of the Dhamma, and to be intoxicated with the bliss of meditation. Yeah,
okay.
To get drunk on the bliss of meditation.
Right.
Yeah.
Turning it upside down.
So that's a really nice one. Yeah.
Too.
So this is what's going on here, and you know, if you like myself, I've been a Dhamma teacher for a while now, and you realize that, you know, people have heard the same thing so many times. You know, you have to keep trying to put it in a new way, challenge people.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, very good. So thanks for spending some time with us, and we look forward to the next discussion of the Theragatha.